Welcome to the New Point Community Church Podcast. This message is part of our series, The Hustle. You're probably familiar with the shell game. You know, the one where a con artist on the streets cheats you out of your money by moving the shells around while you're trying to keep track of which shell has the ball under it. You think you have it figured out, but when the shell is lifted up, the ball is gone, and so is your money. Sometimes dealing with personal finances feels like that. We feel hustled by trying to keep up with the bills, expenses, the taxes, and the Joneses. But it seems like the more we hustle to try and keep up, the more we get hustled. But there's good news. God has a plan for your financial freedom, and we're going to share it with you. Enjoy today's message.
Maybe you're a little bit like those kids in that video when it comes to your finances, or maybe your money, or maybe your stuff. You're a little bit confused. You're not really sure about it. Or maybe even worse, maybe you think that you're an expert, and the fact of the matter is you're clueless. But here's what I know about all of us here today. There's not a single person here today who couldn't use a little bit of help in managing and handling their money or their stuff. Because the way in which we handle our money says that really there's something wrong with us. Because I don't think that we get it. I don't think that we have the true perspective on money and stuff. And so no matter where you are today financially, I'm glad that you're here, because here's what I want you to know. Jesus has some very helpful things to say to me and to say to you and to say to all of us about our stuff, about our finances, about our money. And I want to share that with you. And so I welcome you. I'm glad that you're here. We're in this series called Hustle. And we've all been hustled. We all have felt at one time or another that we've been taken advantage of. And maybe you've been there. Why didn't somebody tell me? Why didn't somebody clue me in? And then I wouldn't have gotten hustled. Well, Jesus, okay, because he loves you and he loves me, we're going to find out that he gives us a parable, and he's really letting us know the right view, the proper view on how you and I should view and handle our stuff, so that you and I don't come to the end of our life and we feel like we were hustled. Do you know that Jesus talked more about money than he did heaven? The problem with many of us, we're more interested in money than heaven. And maybe that's why he talked more about money than heaven. But there's around 34, 35 parables. And about half of them, Jesus talks about possessions. He talks about stuff. He talks about money, though he never asked for any money. And you say, well, why did he do that? Because he knows that your heart and my heart can easily become attached to stuff. And what he really wants is he doesn't want your money, he wants your heart. And so he talks over and over again about stuff, because he doesn't want you to be hustled and he doesn't want me to be hustled. And so we're glad that you're here. And so I want to help us with that today. And so here's what we need to understand. Stuff can add meaning to your life, but it's not the meaning of life. And I think many times we think it is the meaning of life. And we have to come back and we have to have a different perspective. That stuff, nothing wrong with stuff, nothing wrong with money, nothing wrong with nice things, but they add meaning to our life, but they're not the meaning of life. And if you and I, okay, make stuff an end, you just might end up lonely. Because what happens is my focus and your focus will be on stuff instead of people, instead of relationships. And some of us here today have experienced that, have we not? And we're lonely today. We've gone through a divorce. Maybe we have kids who don't want to talk to us because we put a premium on stuff instead of people. And what I want us to get is this right here. If you want to live a meaningful life, you have to figure out how to become a means. You have to be able to become a means to an end. And that's what Jesus talks about in his parables over and over and over again. And basically, when we do this, when you decide to become a means to an end, then your stuff becomes a means as well. And what happens is you see your stuff as something to be helpful and useful, but not something to be possessive with. And so Jesus tells this parable because, listen, ever since man has been alive, we struggle with stuff. Not just today, but 2,000 years ago. We have a tendency to lean in towards stuff more than to lean in towards relationships and people. And so the writer Luke records a talk that Jesus gave. And what he did is he gave a parable. And what you need to realize is a parable is not a true story. A parable is basically an example, an illustration. And what Jesus does, because he's a magnificent teacher, what he does is he tells this story and he gets everybody's attention. He creates a tension. And what happens is then he goes in to his teaching mode and he gives four lessons that we can learn from this parable. And so let's look at it. It's there in your notes. I encourage you to follow along if you like. And so here's what Luke records. Jesus told his disciples there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. Now he says a rich man. And he was so rich that he couldn't manage all of his resources. He couldn't manage all of his stuff. And so he basically hired an accountant to maybe do some selling, maybe do some buying, and to make sure that his money was properly handled. And he goes on to say this. So he called him in and asked him, "What is this I hear about you? I'm hearing that you're wasting my resources. I hear that you're not concerned about how you're handling my stuff." And he says, "Give an account of your management because you cannot be my manager any longer." Wow. So what does he do? The rich man fires him. He said, "You're not managing my stuff very well. You're not handling it the way that I instructed you and I told you. And so guess what? Here's your pink slip. Within 2 weeks, you need to clear out your desk and you're gone." And Luke continues the story. The manager said to himself, "What shall I do now? Uh-oh, I'm in a pickle." Okay? I had a job, and because I wasn't what? Faithful, because I didn't do what I was asked to do, I got fired. And so what am I to do now? I got 2 weeks. And so my master is taking away my job, and I am not strong enough to dig. I'm not a strong person of where I can dig, and I am too ashamed to beg. So this dude is thinking, click, 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 click. What am I going to do? What am I going to tell my wife? How are we going to pay the bills? What's going to happen? What's going on here? Luke continues and says, I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job here in 2 weeks, check this out, this is very, very important, people will welcome me in their houses. So he's developing a plan. All right, remember that. People will welcome me in their houses. Jesus is going to come back to that. So here's what he did. He called in each of his master's debtors, and he asked the first one, how much do you owe my master? The guy said, well, 900 gallons of olive oil, he replied. And the manager said to him, take your bill and sit down quickly, because I don't have much time here, and make it 450. You got to be kidding me. Wow. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You are so kind. You are so generous. Hey, you know what? If there's ever anything I can do for you, you just let me know, because I am so grateful of what you've done for me. You getting the picture? And then he asked the second one, how much do you owe? He said, 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. And he told him, take your bill and make it 800. Wow. You're kidding me. You're kidding me. He said, nope. Go ahead and do that. And what was he doing? He said he was going to do something so that he'd be welcome in their houses. You see, he did three things. He did three things. He looked ahead. He realized he didn't have a job anymore. He said, uh-oh. He said, you know what? In probably about 2 weeks, I'm going to be jobless. He not only looked ahead, he planned ahead. He said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to my master's debtors, and I'm going to strike up a deal with them. And he acted quickly. He acted quickly. He knew that his time was limited. And then Jesus continues the story, and he says, the master. Uh-oh, what do you think the master's going to do? Luke shares what Jesus said, and it had to confuse the audience. It had to blow them away, because here's what Luke records. The master commended the dishonest manager. Say what? Is Jesus up for you and I being dishonest in our dealings with one another? No. That's not it. He goes on to say, the master commended the dishonest manager because he acted shrewdly. Probably haven't heard that word for a while, have you? So let me help us with this. What is shrewdness? Okay? It's to be smart. It's not only to be smart, it's to be strategic. It's to be resourceful. So what you need to understand here is that he's not being commended for being dishonest. What he's being commended is, you know what, you're a smart dude. You're strategic in your thinking. You're resourceful. You knew that your life was going to radically change, and you didn't sit on your hands. You got in motion. You did something about it. You looked ahead. You planned ahead. You acted quickly. You were shrewd, dude. That's what he's complimenting him on. And Luke continues, for the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of light. Wow. You know what Jesus is saying? The people who don't believe that there is life after death, the people who don't believe that there is a God, the people who don't believe in eternal life, they're acting smarter and more strategic and more resourceful than the people of light. than the people who believe that there is life after death. And so Jesus goes into a teaching mode. And he basically says, I want to help you with this. Now, here's what you need to understand, okay? If you're here today, all right, and you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, this really doesn't pertain to you. You can learn from it, but he's talking to people of light right now. Okay, you can learn from this, but the fact of the matter is, if you are a Christ follower, then this all pertains to you, and you can't dismiss it. And so Jesus goes into a teaching mode now after he has explained this parable. And here's what he says. I tell you, he's talking to his disciples, his followers. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself. What did the manager do? He started to act quickly so that people would welcome him into their what? Into their homes. He was acting smart. He was acting strategic. He was acting resourcefully. He says, I tell you, use worldly wealth. Is there another kind of wealth other than worldly wealth? I think Jesus is going to let us know about that here in a moment. To gain friends for yourselves so that when it is gone, when your stuff is gone, and it's all going to be gone, how do we know that? For you brought nothing into the world, and you will bring nothing out of the world. You're going to leave it all behind. I'm going to leave it all behind. He's telling them this. You will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Into eternal dwellings. What's he saying here? He's giving us the lesson of the purpose, okay? The purpose here in giving. Why do we give? We give, okay, to use our worldly wealth to gain friends so that when it is all gone, we have stories of people and works that we have invested in. You see, here's what he says. He says, I tell you the truth, use your worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternity. Dwellings, basically saying that when time is no more, when you leave this world, when I leave this world, that because how you used your stuff, how I used my stuff, there will be people there waiting there saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Because you invested your stuff, I am a life that was changed. And I want to celebrate that with you. See, that's the purpose in giving. And so here's the question that we have to ask. How can I leverage more of what I have as a means to an end that is not me? Y'all right? That's the question. You say, how do you do that? Let me help you with that. You set a percentage on which you're going to live on. See, here's the thing, okay? Here's the thing. All of us are living on a percentage of our income, whether you've set it or not. Okay? Some might be living on 70%. Some might be living on 90%. Some might be living on 100%. Some might be living on 110%. That's when you're chasing checks and you're chasing bills. But what happens is, if you don't set a percentage, then you know what dictates your percentage? You ready for this? Culture does. Your lifestyle does. And one of the things that Patty and I have done, and we've done this since we've been married, is we've decided, okay, here's a percentage that we're going to live on. And we say, hey, you know what? We're not going to let culture decide. We're not going to let a lifestyle decide. We're going to come back and we're going to decide and we're going to say, hey, you know what? This is the percentage that we're going to live on. And what happens is now you become proactive, rather than letting a style choose it for you. And when you do that, what happens is you have the opportunity to turn your stuff into stories. Because now you have margin. Now you have the ability to do things. Now you have the ability to use your worldly wealth to make friends who will welcome you in eternity. And so here's the question that we have to ask. Do I want more stuff or do I want more stories? That's the question that all of us have to ask. And Jesus is saying, I don't want you to get hustled. Because in the end, your stuff is going to be left behind. And in the end, your stuff, if that's all you had, you will be lonely. You see, here's what I believe. Stuff can add meaning to your life when you use it as a means that go beyond you. And so here's how I feel. Here's how Patty feels. Every time we walk into one of our campuses and we see a baptism, or we hear a story, it fills us with joy. You know why? Because we've leveraged our stuff. And wherever you're at, if you're in Worcester, if you're in Canton, if you're in Millersburg, if you're in Dover, if you're in Coshocton, and you have leveraged your stuff, you know that feeling. Because that's why we have those campuses, is because there's people here who get that. And so here's what I want you to understand. Their story becomes your story. Every baptism, every life that was changed, every student that has been helped, so that what happens is they don't fall prey to all of the temptations of life. Every child who is loved and hugged and is told that God made me and God loves me and Jesus wants to be my friend forever. Guess what? That's a part of your story. And so what happens is when life is ended, as you and I know it, they will be there to welcome you because you leverage your stuff. And Jesus is saying, listen, I don't want you to get hustled. So you need to understand the purpose of giving. The purpose of giving is investing in other people, taking your stuff and leveraging it. But you'll never be able to do that unless you decide and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to live on a percentage. And this other, I'm going to leverage it. And so Jesus said, let me give you a lesson here. The purpose is to give. And then he goes on and he gives us the pattern in living. He gives us the pattern in living. How does this all come about? And so Jesus continues in his teaching and he says this, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. Now let me tell you what's little in the kingdom of God. Stuff. Let me tell you what's big in the kingdom of man. Stuff. And so when he says whoever can be trusted with very little, he's talking about stuff. Because stuff doesn't matter much in the kingdom of God. It's something to be leveraged. By the way, okay, if you believe Scripture, Scripture tells us that heaven, its streets will be made of gold. We're going to be walking on the stuff that we value so much here. And so what he is saying here is whoever can be trusted with very little stuff here on earth, okay, can be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. Rick Warren will tell you that the reason why he believed that God allowed him to write the book, The Purpose-Driven Life, which has sold probably about 30 million copies, was because he proved to God he could be trusted with little. If you know anything about Rick Warren, what you will find out is he's been pastoring Saddleback for 40 years. When Purpose-Driven Life came out and it became a worldwide bestseller, what he did is he reimbursed the church for 30 years of his salary. And today he lives on 10% and gives away 90%. Y'all okay? Why? Because he proved he could be trusted. You see, here's my belief. We get our tails turned into a knot because we're saying, I don't know if I can trust God. Here's the question. Can God trust you? What can God trust you? The first test that he will test you with is your stuff. Can he trust you with your stuff? Can he trust you with worldly wealth? If he can't, then you know what? You're not going to get more because you're being dishonest with the little. Y'all okay? It's the pattern of living. Listen, God is always testing you and me. Always testing you and me. He'll bring things across your path. He'll bring things across my path. And he'll say, are you going to hoard that, Dwight? Or can I trust you? Can you be a conduit? Will you use it in a way that will invest in people? And so Jesus is saying here, let me give you a lesson. It's purpose in giving. It's a pattern in living. And then he talks about the principle of blessing. The principle of blessing. And here's what he says. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? Wow. You wonder why? Maybe you don't have the influence that you have. I don't know. Can God trust you with that influence? If he can't trust you with worldly wealth, he can't trust you with influence. Because you'll use your influence just to get more worldly wealth. And you'll find yourself manipulating people because stuff will become more important than stories. And he says true riches. Is there something more valuable than worldly wealth? Absolutely, true riches. What's true riches? It could be peace. It could be joy. It could be contentment. It could be influence. And so we have to come back and we have to ask this question. Whose kingdom are you more devoted to? Are you more devoted to your kingdom, stuff? Or are you more devoted to God's kingdom, stories? You see, Jesus goes on in his teaching and he says this, and if you had not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? You see, here's what we have to understand again, okay? You don't own anything. We think we own our stuff, but we don't own anything. And that's why we get hustled. He says here, and if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who's the property? It all belongs to God. We're not owners, we're managers. Who will give you property of your own? And so what we have to understand here is this, that we're not owners, we're managers. And so we have to ask ourselves this question, what kind of manager am I? Am I an honest manager? Or am I a dishonest manager? And this is so, so, so important. And then Jesus, I like to say, if you're still with me, he drops the plow about another 6 inches. And he says it's about a priority in love. A priority in love. Here's what he says. He says, no one can serve two masters. You can't serve stuff and stories. You can't. He says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money, or you cannot serve both God and mammon or stuff. And so what happens is, what's he saying here is this. He is saying that, Dwight, you have to choose. Who are you going to be in love with? Are you going to be in love with stuff? Or are you going to be in love with serving me? Because you can't have two masters. You know, we would think that he would say, you can't serve God and Satan. That's not what he says. Because you would say, I don't serve Satan. It's not what he's saying. He says, the tug on your heart is stuff, is mammon. And so the question that Jesus is really asking us is this. Do you have stuff or does stuff have you? Now, he's not against you and I having stuff. He just doesn't want stuff to have you. And so he says there's no way that you can serve two masters. You'll love the one and hate the other, or be devoted to the one or despise the other. So he says here, he says it's a priority in love. So how do you know that God is the priority in your life? It's how you handle stuff. It's the number one way. Listen to me very carefully. You can't be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ and be messed up in your finances. Can't serve two masters. What you will be, you're either a follower of Jesus or you're a user of Jesus. You just have to decide. See, Deuteronomy tells us this. Deuteronomy says the purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first in your life. In my life, in your life. And that demonstrates, you know what, you're first. I love you above my stuff. Nothing wrong with stuff, but I love you above my stuff. And I want to leverage it because I want to have more stories than I do stuff. And so here's what I want us to grasp as we wrap up. If being a means to an end is what gives life meaning, to what ends do you want your life to be a means? If being a means to an end is what gives life meaning, to what ends? Multiple things. Multiple things. What do you want your life to be a means to? You see, we can say accumulation. I just want to accumulate more and more and more. Or it could be consumption. I just want to consume more and more. Or it can be this. I'm just going to have one upgrade after another upgrade after another upgrade. Because you know what? Listen, okay? We don't buy things because they're broken. We don't use things until they're broken. We use things until we think that they're outdated. And whether it still works or not is not a determining factor. And so we have to ask, to what ends do you want your life to be a means? Just accumulating more, consuming more, or upgrades? See, this is so important. And until you get this right, okay, nothing else is going to be right in your life. Because your finances, my finances, your stuff, my stuff, affects every area of our life. And so I want to help you with that. In your weekly, there is a 3-month tithing challenge. What do we say? The purpose of tithing is to put God first in your life. And here's what we're saying. This tithe challenge basically say, do it for 3 months. And if God doesn't move and work in your life, you know what we'll do? We'll give you every dime back. So why would you do that? Because this is the key to your life. It's the key to your faith. It's key to everything. And I know what you know. You can say, you know, you just want my money. You can believe that if you want to, and that's okay. But it's not true. What I want you to have and what I want you to experience is true riches. And maybe you're there. Maybe you're there, and you know what? In your weekly, you know, you have an opportunity there to learn more about kingdom builders. And kingdom builders are for people who have resources. That, yeah, you're a priority giver. You're a percentage giver. And yet what happens is God has so blessed your life that, you know what, he's blessed your life to be a blessing. and that you have resources of where you can contribute in ways that maybe many other people cannot contribute. And so I want to invite you to look at that. And I would love to talk to you so that you can create more and more stories instead of accumulating more and more stuff. And so I want to lead you with this. Live for yourself and you'll only have yourself to show for yourself. Along with some stuff for people to fight over when you're gone. And that's what they'll do. Or you can leverage your stuff to create stories and be welcomed into eternal dwellings and have people that you've never met before be able to say, because in heaven, guess what? We have perfect knowledge. And have people waiting for you and say, hey, I'm glad that you didn't just accumulate stuff. I'm glad you didn't just consume stuff. I'm glad that your purpose in life wasn't just continually to upgrade your life. I'm glad that you used your worldly wealth to invest. And I'm a recipient of that. Now here's what you need to understand, okay? Jesus was talking to his followers. And it's amazing. Luke is very, very detailed. And here's how Luke closes out this passage. Here's what he says. The Pharisees, the religious people, the people who wanted to look good externally, but their heart wasn't close to God. The Pharisees, who loved stuff, heard all of this and were sneering at Jesus. Maybe like some of you today, you're sneering. This bothers you. You're saying, can we get through this series? Y'all okay? See, he goes on to say this. He said to them, Jesus, you are the ones who justify yourself in the eyes of others. Hey, I love God. I'm in God's first in my life. Yeah, praise God. But he's not in your stuff. And if he's not in your stuff, then he's not in your life. Because that's the first indicator. Because God knows your heart. He knows where your affections lie. Does it lie with stuff, accumulation, consumption, and upgrades? Or is there a bigger perspective to it? Jesus would say to you and me, don't be hustled. Don't be hustled. Don't come to the end of your life and have perfect knowledge and realize that you were taken advantage of because you didn't have the right view, the right perspective. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you today for you. We thank you for visiting the earth 2,000 years ago to make sure that we had clarity on how to do life, how to live life, how to experience life, so that we wouldn't be hustled. And God, I know this is just something that all of us, myself, we all wrestle with, because stuff has a way of going after our heart. And you're not against stuff. You just don't want stuff to have us because you want our heart. And so I pray today that from this lesson that Jesus taught 2,000 years ago, that we would apply to our own life today and we would experience true riches that maybe we've never experienced. And it's in Jesus' name we pray and we give thanks. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/contact. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week. You can find us on social media, download our app, or subscribe to our weekly podcast through the App Store or Google Play. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.